It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Chickies and Pizza South Philly. You can join us from Chickies tonight for the Brandon Graham Show, 6 p.m., the official sports bar of the Philadelphia Eagles. Donovan McNabb joining us now, brought to you by United Tire. Now's the time to make the right choice about who services your car. United Tire and Service. Go to unitedtire.com. Don't drive alone. Drive United. Donovan, how we doing?
Yes, sir. I'm doing outstanding. How are you doing?
Oh, we're great, man. We're really feeling good. You know how Philadelphia is the day after a last-second loss.
You couldn't even fake that one. That was rough.
Yeah, well, you should have heard the beginning of the show.
It sucks out right here, right now, Five. It sucks.
Yeah, it's not good.
There you go. Let's keep it real. Let's keep it real.
So let me ask you this, because this seems to be one of the biggest points of contention here in the city. It's 3rd and 3 last night, I think a minute 46 on the clock. The Eagles are up 3 points, and they decide to throw the ball to Saquon Barkley. He drops it.
Okay.
You know, we all know what happens afterwards. What do you think about the call to throw the ball there rather than run the ball?
I thought it was a great play call. People need to understand, I mean, there's Atlanta defense, and their head coach is a defensive mental guy. Like, he's a guy that's a coordinator. So they're going to pound the box. They know they couldn't stop Saquon running the football. They were going to pound the box. So what they do, they get outside the pocket and roll Jalen to be a dual threat, be able to throw if something's there. If nothing's there, then pick it up themselves. And so that was a great throw. Saquon dropped it, which he doesn't drop many balls. I thought the play call was a great call, but I don't think that was the reason why they lost the game. It's easy to highlight that and to say, well, the what ifs, but we couldn't stop the run ourselves. We couldn't stop the run. We let Kirk Cousins like pretty much play 7-on-7 versus our defense, and which led to them driving down and scoring at will with less than 2 minutes to go in the game.
Yeah, take me to the mindset of an offensive player on this, Five. When you see the way Atlanta is running the ball and moving the ball against this defense, I'm just wondering, I'm looking at some plays here, and their offensive line is just blowing the Eagles' defensive line off the ball. Like Bijan, he's getting 4 or 5 yards before he's even touched. So as an offensive player, are you in your mind saying, let's just keep running it at him, just keep pounding it at him?
Well, as an offensive mind, when you're standing on the sideline, and for us offensive players, we're watching this happen, and we're cheering on our defense. We know what our defense is capable of doing. But, yeah, I mean, we couldn't stop Bijan Robinson running the football. And even when they brought their backup in, he was running the football effectively. And the thing was, when you watch Atlanta in their offense and the capabilities that they have and going after what happened against Pittsburgh, that wasn't the same offense that we've seen versus Pittsburgh. This is a defense. This is an offense that was more methodical. They wanted to run the football, take pressure off of Kirk Cousins, have Kirk Cousins, you know, make those second and medium throws, those third and short throws if they needed to. And they were dictating what they wanted versus our defense. Our issue was we had no run stopping ability, and we didn't get any pressure on Kirk in the passing game. And so, yes, we can sit back and we can talk about, you know, the inability of our defense, pressure, them attacking the middle of the football field, which was the issue last year. And then, you know, we could talk about maybe the play calling in certain situations on offense. But at the end of the day, this team just could not put Atlanta away. And offensively, we were running the football. We were doing a great job doing it. The passing game hitting Devontae Smith. You know, I still talked about it like last year and year before. Can we please utilize our tight end? Like, I mean, can we at least use – it was like both sides of the ball for Atlanta and us. They didn't throw to the tight ends. Can we please get the ball to our tight end?
You know, Donovan McNabb on with us now. Is there anything you see in Goddard that – because this has been an issue.
Deal.
Yeah, an ongoing thing. Is this a coordinator issue? Is it a Jalen issue? Is it a Goddard issue? Is it able to – is that something you could diagnose just by watching the game?
This is more of a play calling issue, and this is more of a spread the ball around issue. And even though that, you know, AJ wasn't in, it was like, get the ball to Devontae and let's see, because we had a lot of opportunities that receivers are running open. We just missed them, you know, just because, you know, Jalen was moving up in the pocket or getting outside the pocket, so the timing was off. But we have to be able to, I mean, it's a three-step drop out of the gun, get the ball to Dallas. You know, let them run a quick out, let them run a flat route, let them run a post up the middle of the seam. They were running quarters coverage or cover three the whole game, it seemed like. And so everybody is valuable. Everybody's open. And so let's create mismatches that way. And then they started running man coverage, which it goes works in our favor. And so I just look at this offense, and I don't get me wrong, I love what he's been able to do over the last couple of years, but you got to kind of cater to the talent that you have. And unfortunately, Dallas just kind of gets kind of pushed to the side for whatever reason.
Yeah, when you think about what they did early in the game, going for it on fourth down as opposed to taking 3 points there. You know, as an offense, you guys are moving the ball, you finally get down in scoring range. Score is still 0-0. I wonder from your mindset, do you like the idea of going for it on fourth down, or would you have taken points there?
I eliminate the outcome of it. It's easy to say what because we know what ended up happening, but I love the confidence factor of going for it. Because what was our key thing 2 years ago? Last year was, but what was it 2 years ago? The tush push. And so it's kind of you're trying to get yourself in the mode to get to that situation to be able to call it. But, I mean, I love the confidence of going for it. You're at home. You got your crowd. Let's go after it. Let's go right at their throat and dial it up. I'm all about the play calling, so I don't mind it. But the execution was just off.
Donovan, we saw Jalen be more effective running the ball than I think we've seen in a long time. And it also looked like he had a bit of a pep in his speed and his step. I didn't want to say step, but I guess there it is. I was trying to get away from it. I couldn't figure out what to say.
I can't go let you slide with it.
It's pepping your step, man. Yeah, let's go.
That's what it is. Pepping his step.
You went back to the early 2000s and the 90s, the pepping the step.
I couldn't get out of it.
A little giddy up. Yeah.
Look, I'm old. What am I going to do?
We are too, so don't feel bad.
Yes. It's the old guy club on the afternoon show. So did you? What did you see that allowed him to be more successful running the ball last night?
I've seen a healthier quarterback. I've seen a quarterback that wasn't banged up, didn't have the lower leg injuries, and I've seen just an inspired quarterback that wanted to put the team on his shoulders and pick up the yards if need be with his legs. I mean, I thought it was a terrible play, a terrible call by the referees on the taunting just because he got excited, spiked the ball. He didn't throw it at a player. He didn't, get in the face of any other defender. That was an awful call by the refs, in which the NFL is just getting completely soft. And it's really starting to become annoying watching the direction that they're going in with all of these rule changes.
The defensive line you mentioned earlier, is that salvageable? We've seen two games so far, them getting minimal pressure. You know, almost, I think they touched Kirk Cousins one time last night. Do you think that is something that can change through the year, or do you think they're going to be stuck with this all season long?
It's early. I'm not going to sit here and throw the white flag out. But I just think for what we've expected from our Georgia Bulldog alums, it's not happening. I just think losing Fletcher Cox, and a few others, maybe that we're starting to take that hit of it. Because I'm just not getting any push. I'm not getting the correct push in the run game, and I'm not getting, you know, guys to come off and create pressure in the pocket. And so will this continue on? I think they get better as they continue through the season. But I'm pretty sure by trade deadline, we'll be looking to bring some guys in.
Well, Donovan, if anyone knows what it's like in Philadelphia the day after a loss, you certainly are aware of how we can be here. So I appreciate
Everybody just stay away from the bridge.
Yeah.
Everything's fine. It's early. We go through this every year.
Every year.
You know,
yep.
Every year. We're gonna get back on track. It's just one game, you know, and so I just think we continue to bounce back. I think we got New Orleans next week?
New Orleans, yeah.
Well, I mean, as long as they stay off the quarter, and don't go down there. I mean, everything will be fine.
All right, Donovan. Thank you, man.
All right, brother.
Stay positive over there. Stay positive.
Yeah, we'll try.
You sound like you got your coffee today. You got your coffee.
I did. Right.
Thanks, Donovan.
All right, bro.
So for the rest of the hour, Elliot Shore Parks joins us. Elliot is
a ray of sunshine.
Yep. Speaking of positive.
Yep. Yeah. Is brought to you by Groundworks. Tackle your wet basement, drywall cracks, or the nasty smells coming from your crawl space by booking a free inspection at groundworks.com. Elliot, what was the, if you could say X is the reason they didn't win that game last night, what is X?
I mean, the reason they lost is because the guys they pay to be difference makers weren't difference makers. Saquon has to catch that ball. Kellen Moore has to call a better game. Vic Fangio has to be a better game. And Jalen Hurts can't throw that ball away in the final minute. I understand he had it. I thought going into that minute 46 where it all fell apart, I thought he played better than he did against Green Bay. I thought he was smarter. I thought he looked better running the ball. I thought, you know, his accuracy was good. But the final minute 46 did happen. And I think because we had all kind of resigned ourselves to the fact they were going to lose, that interception maybe doesn't hit the way that it should. They were 15 yards away from giving a kicker in Jake Elliott a kick that I think most of us probably think he makes. I mean, is from 65, don't you? Well, I think we would have all felt confident.
Well, 60.
Well, I'm just saying we've seen him make really big kicks.
Yeah, so, has a shot.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. Yeah. So they were really close to winning that game despite the fact of how that happened. So that interception by Jalen, to me, is why they lost. It's like there's a lot of reasons, but they had a chance to win that game, and it's becoming a theme, unfortunately, with Jalen. If you look at the four games they've blown over the past 2 years, three of them have been direct results of Jalen throwing an interception with a chance to win the game. So was he good the rest of the game? Yes, he was. But I'm ready for him to be the reason they win instead of not the reason they lost.
Yeah, I think that's a little unfair. The Seattle game, sure. I'll lay that at his feet last year.
The Jets game?
The Jets game, I don't even care about the Jets game. They were 7-0. They were going to lose at some point.
But it's an example of him in clutch.
I don't care about the Jets game.
Okay,
my point.
That's fine.
I just don't care about that Jets game.
Okay.
Last night, I don't think he was the reason that they lost, but he didn't rescue them from the jaws of defeat. And that's what it would have been. And that's, to your point, that is why you paid those guys that type of money, to rescue you from the jaws of defeat. Patrick Mahomes has done that plenty of times.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Allen has done that plenty of times. You know, Dak does that in the regular season an awful lot. Doesn't do it in the postseason. My only point is that those level quarterbacks, that's what they do. They rescue you from an ugly game where everything didn't necessarily go your way, but they have the ability, if you give them the ball late in the game, they're going to go down and do what needs to be done. And with two timeouts and 30-something seconds, that was more than enough time to get a field goal.
It wasn't as – I think it felt very desperate in the moment because we were all shell-shocked about what had happened. It wasn't that desperate. But I'm saying, like, they needed, what, 40 yards and 30 seconds with two timeouts? That's not that many yards. They didn't have to go down for a touchdown. They didn't have to get to the 30. They needed – again, 30 or 40 yards with a timeout in Jalen. Like, you should be able to do that. And they were in the process of doing it. The first play was a 13-yard completion. But then what happened was, and I've watched the play a bunch, to me, it looks like Jalen just doesn't see Jesse Bates. I know he got hit, but that pass is getting intercepted regardless. And Jesse Bates is a great player. Like, mm-hmm. this was a concern going into it. But he throws
that ball. I didn't like the play call.
I didn't like the play call either. And afterwards, they said that play was meant to go deep. So while Jalen threw it deep, like, the play call was also meant to go deep. So I think that
Which is interesting because there was somebody open. I forget who.
It was Covey.
It was Covey in the middle of the field.
Yeah, feed him one more time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, in the play call, like, the two decisions at the end, I like the decision.
Covey was cooking.
Dude, feed the guy. He's a part of the game plan all game.
All I know is, at the beginning of the show, I got told no goofy, jokes. Meanwhile.
Yeah, Mr. Comedian over here. You can't keep a straight face.
Rodney Dangerfield over there.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I also think it's time for us to maybe view these coordinators different than we did coming into the season. I know it's only one game.
Wow.
But they were supposed to be
different.
You ready to throw the coordinators out?
If Brian Johnson calls the game Kellen Moore did last night, everybody is ripping him to shreds and saying, this is why you have to fire him. All last season I heard, why are they running so many wide receiver screens? At least last year they ran wide receiver screens so they're better players. Covey got it a ton. On a 3rd-and-9 last night, it was a quarterback draw up the middle, which when they did it it last year, I was told, well, they have no answers. They're not creative. Why are they doing this? It looked exactly like
yeah, that was a
year.
Terrible call
well,
on 39. By the way,
real quick, Aikman said last night that that was a decision that Hurts made.
Well, that's part of it, too.
Yeah, there was a throw there that he could have decided to throw.
Oh, it was one of those option
ball.
Plays?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I don't know if he's right, but that's what he said.
In Vic Fangio, while I agree the linemen are not good, the defensive linemen have not played well. This is going to be an issue all year. The point of having a coordinator with 30 years of experience is to scheme up a way to get pressure, which is very hard to do. Trust me, I'm not saying there's an easy fix there. But the Eagles, I think, are 29th in the league in blitz percentage. Fangio's just sitting there and letting the quarterback have all the time in the world. And I'm not a huge advocate of blitzing, but if it's not working, it's now been two games of no pressure on the quarterback. On that final drive, they didn't send any pressure.
Nope.
They just let Cousins just sit there. So these coordinators that were supposed to be, and for good reason, Kellen Moore has a ton of experience. Vic Fangio has a ton of experience. Where was that experience as a benefit last night? I thought the play call to throw it on to Saquon on third down was a bad play call.
No, it wasn't.
It was a bad
He was
play.
Wide open,
It doesn't
open.
Matter.
You're yes, not, it does.
No, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
He was wide open. He is the
but
best
you know what? You know what?
On the field.
But because they threw it, because he was wide open, he dropped it, they lost the game.
No.
Yes.
They lost the game because they only had 21 points. And let me ask you this. Okay, you run it in the middle of the field.
Yes.
So, and the other team knows that you're going to do it.
Yep.
So you're going to lose 3 yards.
So all of a sudden,
the smart everyone thinks it's so easy to run and get 3 yards. It's right. not easy to run and get
so,
3 yards.
So the Eagles have a great running back with an offensive line that's the biggest in the history of the league. But when it comes to getting 3 yards, let's not get crazy here. They stack the box.
No, they did the smart thing. They put the ball in the player
the
where the defenders
thing. They did
were
not. Do the smart thing.
Saquon Barkley dropped the ball.
Yes, correct.
He dropped
that's why,
the ball.
That is why you don't throw it. So you avoid that
So what if he fumbled? What if he fumbled?
Yeah, what if he fumbled?
If he fumbled on the run?
Yeah.
But
then at least you made the right play.
No!
There was no logic to throwing it. There
he
wasn't.
Was open!
There was logic.
It does not matter he was open.
It does not matter.
The correct call in that, look, you like to talk about process, right?
He catches the ball, they win the game.
The result, it's not about the result. The process is right there. You have to kill the clock. You have to kill 40 seconds off the clock. By throwing it, you increase the chances of the worst outcome, which is the clock stopping when they have no timeouts. Like the difference between getting it with a minute 40 and less than a minute, like 58, 59 seconds, is big.
No, it's not.
Wrong. Yes, it is.
They went up the field and they went
up the field in 45 seconds.
I don't think the game plays out the same way if they get it
of
with
course,
a minute.
I don't. Your argument.
No, I don't. Because
but
I think there's more
on,
pressure with less than a minute.
Based on, here's the thing, Elliot. Based on what actually happened, they moved the ball down the field like a hot knife through butter.
They did.
There was no resistance. So even if they run the ball there and then kick the field goal, because quite frankly, you even have people that are making the argument to go for it on fourth down and don't kick the field goal.
And I would make that argument.
Kick the field goal. I think Nick made the
Elliot,
right decision.
I understand that. Yeah, but you do understand that there are other arguments that people want to go for it on fourth down.
Yeah, but I think that's wrong. I think
All I'm saying is that there are other options that there's no singular choice that everybody agrees upon.
Right.
What we do know is that they decided to throw the ball there and the play was open. It was a simple catch.
But by throwing it, you open yourself up to that outcome.
And
so
by running it, you open yourself up to fumbling.
Yes.
Let's be honest. It's a far less likely outcome he fumbles it. You can use it. Anything can happen. Jalen could throw an interception when they attempt
to pass. Not on that play because that's the design of the play.
And I think Saquon's not fumbling it up the middle. They could have tush-pushed it.
You can't say throw an interception because he has the option. If he's covered, he's just going to run it.
But what if he decides not to? What if he decides
to play
here?
Well, then
that's the point I'm making. You have to take it out of the player's hands to an extent.
Either way, you're putting it in the player's hands. We're telling you about Saquon.
But if you run it, the clock is not stopping. That's the one outcome you can't have on.
But
the
it play. Wasn't going to run the clock out.
No, but it was going to kill almost half the time left on the clock.
Mm.
It was.
It was going to kill 40 seconds, and it would have been a minute. It would have been
right. So
a minute.
It'd
have been about 50 seconds left to go with Atlanta got the ball.
Yeah, and I think they're less likely to score when you get it with less than a minute.
Dude, they scored, and it was still 38 seconds on the clock.
Yes, they.
That's
went
how
down
fast
the field.
They went down and scored from our Illinois. It was a minute and 40-something left.
Yes.
The play happened. Fourth down happened. Kickoff happened. Atlanta scored. Eagles got the ball back with over 30 seconds left to go. All that happened in less than a minute.
Yes, yes, because of the way it played out. I personally think if you get it with less than a minute, it's a very different. I mean, look, you think when you take the field as an offense with 58 seconds, you feel the same level of pressure as when it's a minute 40?
This defense is Swiss cheese, is what I'm telling you.
But they weren't Swiss cheese all night. They gave up 15 points before that.
Hold on.
It's not about points.
Hold on.
What's it about that?
Atlanta moved the ball up and down the field. Bijan couldn't be stopped all night.
Right, but they scored 15 points.
I understand that, Elliot. Right. But what I'm saying is, in a two-minute drill, was a lot more chaotic.
Yes.
And it's a lot more frantic. The Eagles showed you that they wouldn't have been able to handle a two-minute drill. They showed you.
Right.
There was no resistance to that two-minute drill the Falcons ran.
But if we think they're scoring either way, then it doesn't matter what you do on third.
That's why you go for the win.
And by the way,
Saquon catches the ball, the game is over.
But the defense, I agree.
The defense doesn't get back on the field.
But the defense,
that's why it's okay they went for it. Because that defense is Swiss cheese.
By the way, that's why you go for it on fourth down. Because you go for it on fourth down, the worst thing that happens is you don't get it.
That's the argument, yes.
You don't get it. You're only up by three.
I disagree.
Hold on. They're only up by three. And what happens is that Atlanta plays for a field goal rather than playing for a touchdown. And the worst case scenario is you're tied and you're not down.
I think you kick the field goal. No, you kick the field goal so that they have to go down the field and you trust your defense to get a stop.
I don't want them to go for it. You should. Trust your defense.
Why shouldn't you trust the defense?
Because they give it up. Don't trust this defense to do anything.
They gave up 15 points.
Oh my God.
They had arguably outplayed the offense.
No, we praised this defense last week in Green Bay.
Yes. No, you said we did.
I said we praised them.
Yeah, right.
And Green Bay went up and down the field on them.
Right, but the defense in week one kept them in the game early on. Like this idea.
It was due more to Green Bay's miscues than it was the Eagles making miraculous plays.
This idea that the offense is way better than the defense is just not true through two games. They are way closer than people want to make it seem. They are. Now, there's more talent on the offense, but if you look at the level they're performing, it's not that different.
Dude,
the defense gave up 15 points in the first 58 minutes of that game.
And it had more to do with Atlanta being conservative in the way that they were playing. Green Bay moved the ball in chunks of yards.
Early on in that game.
Green Bay moved the ball
in
chunks of yardage.
They did.
Atlanta played a conservative game last night where they ran the ball and played more ball control. This defense has been fortunate to bend but not break in the red zone.
And the offense,
they've gotten the ball moved on them up and down the field.
And the offense has
Atlanta punted twice the
whole game.
The
offense has been equally fortunate. Last week against Green Bay, they turned it over twice to start the game. They're lucky they didn't put the team in a 21-0 hole in that game. Jalen threw four or five passes, should have been intercepted.
Who's the best player on defense?
I mean, this year, I don't even know who the best player on defense would be.
Well, who would you take?
Honestly, probably Quinyon. But
that's saying a lot.
That says a whole lot.
Okay, you're right. There's more talent on the offense. Guess what? That doesn't mean they've outperformed the defense. Last night, they scored 20. They scored 21 points last night. That's not a lot of
points.
Who's
been the most impressive players through two games?
They've been on the offensive side of the ball.
Okay, so where's your point where the defense has done anything?
I'm making my point.
You're actually not.
Last night, they gave up 15 points for
the
final
Who was the best player
drive.
On defense last night?
I don't think they had a best player.
So how do you keep saying
this? Well, then, who was the best player on offense?
No, let me
Devontae
ask you this.
Devontae Smith, I don't know. Jalen Hurts last night?
Jalen Hurts threw the game away in the final possession. He did. Did that interception not happen?
Elliot, you can't say the defense doesn't have any good players, but they're the best unit. And also, Vic Fangio needs to be criticized.
But then tell me how the
which one is it?
No, so tell me how the offense has been way better.
The
I said they were close.
Defense is the weak link on this team, you know it.
No, look, if you want to do 55-45.
We said it before the season. We said the defense would let this team down. Defense is not a luxury, and that this defense would give up a drive late in the game to cost you a game.
Offense has not considerably outplayed the defense.
The offense was missing its best player last night.
Yes, they were, and that mattered. But ultimately, if you look at last
night.
Who
was the defense missing?
Which unit was there a big difference between the units last night?
I'll tell you who looked
there
better
was
last
not.
Who
there
looked
was
better
not.
Last night, the offense or the defense?
I think it was mostly the same.
What did the defense do to look great?
What did the offense do to look great?
They had a 9-minute drive that should have iced the game.
And didn't ice the game, by the way. Could you imagine if a player on defense made the mistake the level of that Saquon drop? We would be ripping them to shreds.
They did. Darius Slay did.
Yeah, but with Saquon, it's like, he wanted to catch it. Yes,
no,
I agree.
Everyone is talking
Bryce
about
also
Saquon.
Wants to get. No, but we're glossing past it, but we're focusing on the defense. The offense also made critical mistakes last night.
Both Cheeks. Units, can I say that? Cheeks.
Both
you
units
don't miss the
have failed.
All right.
I agree with Elliot on the third and three.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're wrong. Everybody's wrong.
Cheeks, defense.
All right.
That Chua, interception.
Chua, stop. You got.
Why do we act like?
We have the whole we have the whole next segment. I just want to actually get
golly.
215-592-9494.
Can we start drinking in here?
Yeah.
Can we?
Get yourself a Surfside.
Get a Surfside for me over here.
We're at Chickies and
last
Pete's.
Night,
we're at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. Catch all the Eagles action this season at the official sports bar, the Philadelphia Eagles, Chickies and Pete's, where we love the Eagles, obviously. Find a location near you at chickiesandpete's.com. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
And Fritz. So WIP Afternoon Show, Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Elliot Shore Parks with us until 4. We're at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. Catch all the Eagles action this season at the official sports bar of the Philadelphia Eagles, Chickies and Pete's. Find a location near you at chickiesandpete's.com. Some interesting audio of Coach Sirianni getting a little snippy. We'll get you that audio in a second right after we talk to Chad and Clayton. Chad, you're on WIP.
Hi.
Chad. Showtime,
yeah,
buddy.
I just called in. I called in because I hear what y'all are saying about the defense. And let me first off by say, I'm not naive. I do know we need an edge rusher. But you cannot sit up here and blame the defense when they held that defense to 6 points in the first quarter. Mm. Well, actually, the second half.
Well,
the offense did not help us out.
They didn't hold them
at
all to 6 points in the second half.
Yeah, well, what do you mean?
In the second half, I believe it was 6-7.
That was the first half.
Yeah, yeah.
They scored on every possession in the second half.
In three possessions.
0-0. The Eagles didn't get no points.
That was the first quarter.
Yeah, in the first quarter.
Yeah.
But the first half,
they had six at halftime. The score was 7-6 at halftime.
Yes. I'm not arguing that. Defense did a good job.
Yeah. This one's on me.
I'm happy to have him on my side because, as he's right, 15 points through 58 minutes is not a bad outcome for the defense. We can ask them to do it a different way stylistically, but at the end of the day, if they give up 15 points in the first 58 minutes when the offense has the ball with a minute 46 to go, they should win that game.
The defense, well, they were up six.
The defense played well.
Hold on, they were up six.
You're saying when the defense went back on the field?
Yeah.
Yeah, and the defense was bad there. I agree. They blew it, for sure.
So we're supposed to ignore that?
No, but I'm saying this idea that the defense was like a train wreck last night, no, I don't think is true.
I didn't say they were a train wreck. I didn't say they were a train wreck. As a matter of fact, we said everybody has a hand in this. Coaching, the defense, the play calling on the offensive side of the ball, the stars at the end of the game. Like, there is, I don't know who's blameless.
No, I don't think anyone is.
Okay,
yeah, I didn't mean like you guys said it, but I think the general way we talk about the defense seems very different than the way we talk about the offense.
And because the defense was the last unit on the field when the Falcons scored.
Well, yeah, but then the offense threw the ball away.
Okay, so, and you yourself said Jalen's the reason they lost.
Yeah, I think he plays a big part of it. And I think the concern for me is to look big picture for a second. If you look over the last 10 games, the Eagles have a worse record than the New York Giants. Like, that matters to me.
I know. The seven games from last year, I swear to God, it's going to carry so much weight for
It matters.
Long.
It matters.
Well, how much did the first 11 games matter?
Last year?
Yeah.
You're saying less than the last seven to me.
Okay.
Because the seven
nobody goes back to those 11
games. Because there's a clear point
because they
of
don't
where,
matter.
No, because there's a clear point of where it broke. It broke when they started that collapse.
But based
they've
on
been
what,
unable
though?
To
but
fix
based
it.
On what?
Because they have a worse record than the Giants.
I know that's what the results say, but how did they get to those results?
But
I mean if I go look at the Saints,
if I go look
at the Saints and how bad they were last year, does that have anything to do with their 2-0 right now?
I don't think it does, no.
Well, why is it for the Eagles?
Because the Eagles are a prolonged stretch of playing poorly. Like, if we want to talk big picture about
prolonged
if we should
stretch
believe.
Of if I, we want to I was talk told big, last week that was a masterpiece.
In week one?
Yes.
It was a good win. I agree. But the prolonged stretch of football for this team is below average. And
based
not
on the
should.
Last seven games of last
year. And last night. And last night.
But what about the last 30 or 40 games?
Over the last 30 or 40 games, they've been better.
What about that prolonged stretch?
Yes, but we're
so
looking,
it's not a prolonged stretch, though. It's a window, which I agree with.
Yes.
That's not, nobody's arguing that. Nobody's arguing that they were bad at the end of the year. What I'm saying is that's a completely different team than what's here right now. The circumstances are completely different.
I don't know if they are.
But they are.
I'm curious.
They are. Saquon wasn't here. The coordinators, the systems that they're running this year wasn't there last year. The contentiousness in the locker room, the disconnect that was there last year. You're telling me that's what's the reason why they're losing right now?
No, I'm saying that at
what one about, no, what about that part?
Right. I don't think the contentiousness is there yet. I agree with you on that. And you're right. Saquon is here, and the coordinators are different. But we just talked about the coordinators weren't great last night. And Saquon dropped the biggest play of the game. So
were the coordinators great last week?
In the first week, yeah, I thought they were better that week.
So what are we going to do week to week based on results? We're going to decide whether or not they were good or bad?
What I want from this team is a stretch of looking like what they're supposed to look like. We consistently call them Super Bowl contenders. We consistently say they have one of the best best rosters in the league. Uh-huh. And they have not looked like that for more than a game at a time for almost a year.
Okay.
And so moving forward with this team, okay. Do I think the season's over? No. But when I don't have the confidence I used to that this is going to be like a 12-win team. Like,
that's fine. Nobody cares about your confidence or not it's going to be a 12-win team. I don't really care about that. What I'm doing is trying to be practical and realistic to say that this team has played two games in a different system, under new regime, under new coaching, and under a new regimen. And so they play two games. I can look around the league and not overreact. There are a lot of teams that everybody thought was going to be so great.
Yeah, but the rest of the league doesn't matter. Like right now, it doesn't. It doesn't.
Well, hold on, the Eagles.
We've been doing
hold
this.
Hold on, hold on. Hold up.
Go ahead.
Don't tell me the rest of the league doesn't matter when you're trying to compare and contrast where the Eagles are. If you want to just do everything in a vacuum, then go ahead.
Go right ahead.
But to have some sort of realistic perspective on where they really are and how you should view them moving forward, having some context of where they are in the season and what a lot of other teams look like based on predictions are, they aren't throwing their seasons away. So right now, you, somebody who has so much high hope and praise for this team coming out of training camp from the head coach to the quarterback, all of a sudden, because they lost the game, all that's changed. And so we should take what you're saying and run with that as the gospel, because your emotions change based on what happens after the result. Not how the confidence you have going into it. It's the results. Have some conviction in what you're saying. You said this team was going to be good this year. Okay, they're 1-1.
Yeah.
Would we feel any different had they lost to Green Bay and beat Atlanta?
No, I don't think so. I mean,
they'd be 1-1.
No, but here's – okay. So, first of all –
A lot of people didn't expect them to beat Green Bay. And if they had beat Atlanta at home, you wouldn't be sitting here talking this way right now.
Look, I agree it's disappointing that the training camp did not translate over. I thought they would be better. I agree with you on that. But if we're talking about to believe in them, like forget how I feel.
It's one game.
No, hold on. When's the last time this team looked the way we wanted them to look?
I don't know. Based on who you are, I don't know how you want the team to look.
No, but I'm saying, like, we talk about them like having –
I don't know how you want the team to look.
I want them to –
I want the team to look. I'm okay if the team wins one possession games. Yeah, evidently, you need them to win by double digits to come out
and
be dominant.
Yes, I want them to play better.
But nobody dominates the league like that every week.
The Saints do. They do. The Eagles in 2022.
Beat the Carolina
in 2022, the Eagles dominated
teams. And they beat the Cowboys.
The Eagles dominated teams in 2022. They dominated teams in 2017.
Go ahead, Spike. I can't listen. My brain is not being fed. I had to get up from the table.
I
got to get up from the table. So I'm talking in circles right
now.
Let's
go to the next thing.
Okay. Yeah. One more quick thing. The only point I'm making is we've been pointing to the rest of the league for a while. It's time for the Eagles to worry about their own house, and they have
They're 1-1.
Yes, but they've not looked good for almost a
calendar year. I am ending this part of the conversation.
Fair.
All right.
They haven't. The last person they got was against the Dolphins.
Enough. Okay, next part of the conversation.
All right.
Sirianni was asked about the play call last night on 3rd and 3 and whose call it was, whether it was his or Kellen Moore's. And here was his reaction.
Clarify on the calls, though. Kellen's making, that
Kellen's
pass,
the offense
that
coordinator
pass, right?
makes so, Kellen's offense coordinator makes the calls, yeah, if you're trying to stir that up.
Rule him on those.
Yeah, I'm the head coach.
Okay.
Wow.
Mm. So I thought it was interesting right afterwards, and obviously I'm staring at the internet or whatever, but after the game ends, and everyone is blaming Sirianni for the 3rd and 3 call, after we just spent 4 months talking about the fact that he's not calling the plays. So I guess the question for Ike and Elliot is, sorry, Jack, unless you have a one-liner?
I'll work on it.
Okay. Is, who do we think made that call? Because I assume it's Kellen Moore.
Yeah.
And then is it right to blame Sirianni for it? In that, I'll give you my perspective is the only thing Sirianni could have done would have been to tell Kellen Moore, we're going for it on 4th down no matter what happens here. So call your 3rd down play as if you have 4th down too.
Yep.
But we assume that Kellen Moore made that call, right? Do we all assume that?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
So I've actually been thinking about this today, and I'd be curious not to throw it back at you, but your perspective on this, Mike, as someone that has been a boss.
A manager.
I don't know if you've heard this.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But so I think on one hand, it is unfair to blame Sirianni, obviously, for that 3rd down call. Kellen Moore called the play. And I know we disagreed, but I thought it was a bad play call. Regardless, what I've been debating is, once Sirianni hears that it's not a clear run, that they're not just running the ball, should he step in?
He feels differently?
Yeah.
No.
And so I think that's where I lean. That in the second week, you can't already be overriding Kellen on the side.
No, because I'll tell you what. If it doesn't work, somebody is going to leak out that that's
exactly
what happened.
Right.
And then this snowballs into something bad.
Yep. Yeah.
If Sirianni, if the conversation is, and you can debate whether this is the right way to handle the situation from a top line level, but is that Kellen's calling the plays. Kellen makes those calls.
Right.
So the minute that Nick Sirianni, and by the way, in week 2, comes in and overrules him on the most important call of the game, he can't do it.
So I that's where I fall, ultimately. I don't think he should do it. Yeah, I think you, at that point, early in the season, without a track record of, week after week disagreeing, I think he was right to just let Kellen call that play. My guess is the test.
He could have gave a better answer.
Yeah, I agree.
I agree.
He
didn't have to do that.
He was probably upset that the guy that asked the question is number one and insider of the year.
Right,
power
over, right. His, over his boy. Yeah, Nick agrees.
Well, I do think that Nick is in a difficult position answering these questions because on one end, he is the head coach. Everything falls upon him, the good things, the bad things, so on and so forth. He is the one that should have to answer for it. On the other end, he is in a situation where there has been enough exposition about what his role is that it almost sounds ridiculous for him to take the blame for it, but it also sounds ridiculous for him to cast the blame, So they're asking him, why did you do this? And he makes the he answers. He'll just say, here's why we made the call. And they go, well, whose call was it?
Yeah,
and that's a very difficult position for him to be in because he's going to want to take the blame, but everybody knows that if he takes specific blame for this, it makes it look like he made the call.
Well,
so it's like it's a very difficult position for him to be
so
in.
So first of all, I think it's a fair question. I agree with you. Like, I don't think he handled it well. Like, you made a story out of an answer, which is what you're trying not to do. I think from his perspective, he's probably thinking all offseason, I was told, what does he do? CEO, head coach, just here because he controls him. And then there's a bad play call, and it's, well, hey, did you make that call?
Right.
All offseason, it was made crystal clear. Kellen is calling the plays. And then there was a controversial play. I didn't hear anybody last week saying, well, which plays did Nick call in the game when they scored 34 points, right? So I think from Nick's perspective, and he shouldn't have let emotion get the better of him there, for sure. But I would imagine that was probably where the frustration came from.
Yeah.
I can understand being frustrated.
Yeah.
If you're him. Now, that is his lot in life right now. That's what he's going to have to deal with. And he's definitely going to be. And by the way, like, this is sort of the
this is what happens to every coach, is that the plays that work were good calls. The plays that don't work are bad calls. But what's going to happen here, to your point, is that when the offense is working, everyone will say, see, I told you so. We have somebody in here who knows what they're doing.
Yep.
And when the offense is not working, or when plays like that are called, then it'll go back.
Right. Kellen calls the good plays. Nick calls the bad plays.
Right.
We can just get that out of the way.
Yeah, to some extent. I think that's true. Was there anything that you felt positive about after last night's game?
I mean, I think the obvious one is Jalen as a runner. I always thought he was still a great runner. I know the results haven't shown that, but I just see him move in training camp, so I know he has it in him to physically do it. I always felt in games it was more of a mental thing where he's not worried about not getting hurt or, you know, deciding to run a certain way. I thought it was noteworthy last night that after a few of those runs, and you could hear it in his voice after the game, I mean, he was fired up. Like, after a few of those big runs, he got the one taunting play or whatever and it was a lame
delay game.
Yeah, well, when he spiked the ball, whatever it was. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I thought he showed a ton of emotion last night after some of those runs. Again, up until the final 2 minutes, I actually thought Jalen, again, played better than he did in Green Bay. I thought if they win that game, I'm on here today saying this is why you pay a quarterback like Jalen, because he made plays that other quarterbacks don't make with his legs. He just did. Like, I think the best part of their offense for the majority of that game was him creating with his legs.
Yeah.
So I do think that was a positive for sure. I mean, if he plays that style of game the rest of the season, you know, I think that's a somewhat acceptable outcome. The interception is very bad, clearly, but he was smart with the ball outside of that.
Yeah, I didn't think we were creative enough schematically offensively last night. I don't know, A.J. getting injured late in the week.
Yeah.
What did that do to the game plan? How did it alter it? I just didn't like the adjustment we made to A.J. not being in the offense last night. The offense looked pedestrian at times. You know, Jalen is dropping back, and I said this before the game, he's familiar with two guys, and that's who he was probably going to throw the ball to. Was dead on with Devontae. Thought he would throw the ball to Dallas Goedert a little bit more. I don't know. Did they switch up the plays and all of a sudden Brent Covey is playing Devontae Smith role and Devontae Smith is playing AJ role? I don't know. But whatever it was, there's no way you went to bed at night saying Brent Covey is going to be the second leading target guy in our offense this week.
Well, and what's crazy about that was it wasn't like coincidentally he got the ball six times. He was targeted.
Yes.
Like, the play call was designed for him six times.
Well, I think one of the things it shows is that Jahan Dotson is not ramped up and is not ready.
That's disappointing too, though. I mean, from a coaching perspective, you've now had this guy in the building for, is it
close 2 weeks?
Two and a half weeks. I mean, he should be ready. He's not a rookie. He's a two-year player that you paid a third-round pick for. This idea that you need a month to get him ready,
how long did it take Julio to get adjusted last year?
Well, I don't know if Julio's a Hall of Famer.
Well, I mean, he was, but he was in there. Yeah.
No, for sure.
Though, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, like, I don't blame Jahan Dotson for last night.
So coming up next,
I just don't know if he's like, when is he going to be a part of the offense and do something?
Right. Why'd you pay a third for him?
Yeah.
Coming up next, Jordan Mailata will join us to talk about, really, all of these things. So Jordan Mailata is next. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers, designing the ultimate championship ring for our listeners. Vote on the design and find out how to win at 94WIP.com/Marks. Biggest reason the Eagles lost, 54% say defensive line, 32% Nick Sirianni, 9% Saquon, and 5% Kellen Moore. Because remember, Kellen calls good plays and not the bad plays.
Oh, thanks for having me on, guys.
Yeah, it's great.
It's always a good time. Always fun. Yeah.
All right. Eat it, kid.
I'm getting texts saying Ike hates me, so the job was done. Yes.
Oh, you know we love you.
Love you. Jordan Mailata is next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. So we love Elliot. What I don't love is your old drafty windows. They're embarrassing. Even the Elliot does embarrass us sometimes too, but your old drafty windows, they got to go. And I know the story. You don't feel like dealing with it. Too expensive, hassle, blah, blah, blah. When you go Guida, they're going to make sure it's not as expensive.